Hello, everyone. This is Andrea Von Kampen, and welcome to my podcast, It's My Party. This is a podcast where I sit down with women who I find to be interesting and creative, and we have meaningful conversations. So if that sounds good to you, let's get started. I'm so excited for this week's guest. She's one of my best friends. We went to college together, and she's an incredible person. Her name is Meredith Holgemuth. Meredith is an American NYC-based soprano. She completed her Master of Music in Vocal Arts at the Juilliard School. This past summer, she was crowned winner of the Montreal International Music Competition Voice 2022 edition in the Art Song Division. Also at this competition, she won every single thing you could win. I was looking up her bio today, and it was like, I think in the sports world we'd call this a clean sweep. Someone write in, let me know if that's true. The clean sweep part, I know she won all these awards. She also just finished being a vocal fellow at the Tanglewood Music Festival, where she was singing in the US premiere of George Benjamin's Lessons in Love and Violence. Meredith is amazing. I could say so much more, but I think you're just going to want to listen to this episode. All of this really cool stuff happened after we recorded this. So this podcast, we're going to chat more about our time at Juilliard and then sort of what it was like graduating in a pandemic and then, you know, pursuing an opera career in a pandemic. So I think there's going to be a lot of great lessons to be learned here. And if you want to see what she's up to now, definitely check out her website. We'll link all of that and I'll go into that in the outro. Anyways, without further ado, Meredith Holgemuth. Okay, Meredith.
Andrea. It's been so long.
Your new place looks great. Like, the lighting looks so beautiful, and I love the plants and the mandolin. And no one's going to see this video, but I'm just going to illustrate a little bit that it looks really great. And I see the word Nebraska right above your head.
Yes. This is Luke's studio. That's his mandolin.
Okay.
And then there's a lamp and there's a plant. That is my plant. But yeah, it's great. We love it.
I also hang my Luke bag on the door of my studio. So that's kind of funny.
It's right there.
Yeah, it's, do you see it? It's right.
I do see it. Oh. Oh my gosh.
What the heck? Okay, it's anyways. So sweet. Thank you so much for being on my podcast, Mare. I'm so
Absolutely.
Excited to have you.
Anytime.
It's so good to see you.
I miss you, and this is my first podcast, how do you say, appearance or audience? Wait, I don't know.
Really? It's
you know
your first one? I would have never
Can
guessed.
Can you tell?
No, that's great. That's great. So you've had some exciting stuff happen recently. I want to start from the beginning, but I also sort of want to ask about what was going on. Did you have a recital last week in Boston or 2 weeks ago? What was that?
Over the weekend, last weekend. Yeah.
How was it?
It was good. It was really fun. My friend Pierre Nicolas Colombat, he's a pianist, but is French American, and he now lives in Switzerland. And we met literally 3 weeks ago for the Carnegie Hall event, which we just did. So yes. We just met, and he had a last minute thing where this whole recital series he designed with this other singer has to have this emergency surgery on his eyes, and pressure of singing would put too much on his eyes, which is terrible. I think he's okay. But anyways, last minute, Pierre was like, can you do this recital with me? And I was like, yeah, I mean, sure. We just did it. So I'll just come and we'll do it again. So we did it at a place called the Piano Craft Gallery. And it was just a really cool art gallery in the basement of this old piano Whoa. Warehouse or something where they made pianos. I don't know. So it was kind of cool. And yeah, it was fun.
That's amazing.
It was good.
You had your Carnegie Hall debut, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What was
not
that
in,
like?
I want to, full disclosure, it was not in the main hall, okay? It was not in the big, big hall.
How did that come to be?
It came to be by me applying. So it's through one of the Resnick Education Wing series
mm-hmm.
programs that Carnegie Hall does. And this one is called Renee Fleming's Song Studio. So it used to be, it's funded by the Marilyn Horne Foundation. Marilyn Horne is famous opera singer. And she started it, I think, I don't know, a long time ago, maybe the 90s, that could be too far back, mm-hmm. but basically where it's like a week of working with like incredible artists and pianists and singers, vocal coaches, all of this stuff, and working on song repertoire. So stuff that's like just voice and piano. And so that's what, so I applied and got in and got paired with a pianist. And you can apply like as a duo, mm-hmm. but I didn't have enough time to record everything with one person. Cause I applied, you know, you have to have how many 10 different songs, you know, or whatever. And they were all with different people. So I was like, well, if I get in, I'll just get paired with someone. And it was a great pairing. He's really great. And we met and like worked on all the music apart. And it was actually really challenging because we got to choose the music we'd work on and then like debut. So we kind of picked our repertoire, coached it throughout the week together and with all of these people, and then had the performances at the end of the week where we like put them on. And it was so interesting because we did Webern. So it's like very atonal 21st century, or wait, 20th century. What century are we in? 20th century. And it was like pretty much the hardest music I've ever had to learn. And I kind of had only a month to do it and was doing it. Like we were sending each other recordings of like me counting it and talking it, and then him playing it and counting. And then we were like, I don't know if this is going to work. Like, can we come together in literally 5 days and be able to like connect and do it? And it worked. It like actually worked, but it was very tricky.
That's amazing.
But it was great. Yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations on both of those things. Exciting, Mare.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. So I want to start at the beginning. I know a lot about you, but I'm going to ask questions even if I know the answers for the audience sake.
For the audience. Yeah, of course.
This is Meredith's podcast debut. It is important that we cover, you know, kind of from everything. Birth until now. Yeah.
Wow.
So you were born on an orange farm.
I was born. Yes.
Meredith came out of the womb with an orange.
No.
You were holding an orange.
Exactly. I am a Florida girl. I was born in Winter Haven, which some beautiful people, town. When I say that, it's a beautiful town. Some people are confused. They're like, wait, that's backwards. I'm like, no, it's a haven.
Think about
from the winter.
Haven.
So it, yes. Think about what it means. So it actually, everyone listening, it makes perfect sense.
It actually does. So and it has been a winter haven for me sometimes.
Yeah.
When I have visited you.
Every once in a while. Yes,
every
it has.
Every once in a while. It's a great little town.
Here and there. Yeah. It's a great place. So, and I wouldn't even say town. I would say medium city because
it's totally a city.
And it's growing. It's getting.
Could you give the population one more time? I didn't hear it.
Winter Haven.
Meredith, I said, could you give the population one more time?
Oh, population.
I'm like, whoa, she's spicy today.
It's called Winter Haven, Andrea. Listen, no. The population is about 40,000 people.
All right. City. Town.
Small
if,
city.
You know. Yeah.
Large okay. town.
Large town.
Yeah. So,
that
is where
I'm
from. You
were born there and you grew up there. Is that right?
Yeah. I grew up there my whole life until college.
And when you were growing up, were you pretty sure from a young age you were going to be an opera singer? Like, when was your first inclination that you were going to study opera and perform?
Yeah, absolutely not. I feel like my mom loves to tell the story how I always wanted to be a brain surgeon. I don't think I said that. Like, maybe when I was like 4. I did love Band-Aids, so maybe that's where that came from. But so that was like maybe my first career move at like the age of 4 and a half, let's say.
Brain surgery with Band-Aids.
2000.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But that obviously didn't pan out. And I started, you know, I do have to say, I never thought I would be singing opera or anything like this, classical music. But I did love musical theater and singing and like being on the stage. I feel like I think I was in my first musical in like our community theater mm-hmm. Winter Haven.
And what was musical was that?
It was Nutcrackers. So okay. It was a comedy Christmas spectacular.
Is this a well-known script?
You know, I don't, I don't believe so. But it had a great reception. And honestly, Andrea, we had like, I was like in school.
I'm going to have to look into
this. I was like seven.
Yes.
You should look into it. No, it's so, it was actually so good. It's hilarious. And, but yeah, I was like, I think I was 7 or 8. I was in like second grade. So would that make me, I think that made me like 8. Anyways, that's not important. But I was like around that age and I was the youngest girl in the, like this Catholic boarding school or something. Because it was like, it was kind of like a Sound of Music thing. There was like the nuns and then all the kids and there's like, you know, all the ages. And I was like the cute, I was like, not Liesl. Gosh, this is embarrassing. Brigida.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like her.
We should clarify, you were not doing the Sound of Music. Like you are now
comparing. We were not doing this.
You are now comparing the cast of the Sound of Music to nun crackers. Yeah. Okay,
great. I regret it now. Looking
so
back.
I was Brigida. And
I was Brigida. But yeah, so we did the musical and it was so fun. Mm-hmm. And we did like 20 shows. Like it wasn't like a weekend. We did it was the whole, holiday season every, like throughout the week. On the weekends, we did all of these.
And you just loved it.
It was a lot of rehearsing. I loved it. It was so fun. So then from then on, I did a lot of community theater, pretty much a show at least a year.
Wow.
And then eventually I started taking voice lessons. I remember I like sang a solo at church or something. This is like eighth grade. And someone came up to me and my mom. It was like, wow, you really have something. You should take voice lessons. Okay. And at the time I was like, how rude. She's saying, I need someone to give me lessons. Like I didn't understand what it was. And I was kind of, I was insulted. But
this
then,
voice
anyways,
is as
then
good
I,
as it will ever get.
I know, right. You want more from me? What more could you want? But yeah, and then I think I started taking voice lessons and...
And did you take voice lessons in Winter Haven or did you take them somewhere else?
I didn't. Actually, Kimberly Saunders Randall was my first voice teacher and I went to Orlando. So that's... Winter Haven is in between Orlando and Tampa. So it was like an hour to her house. So I would go once a week. I think it was Wednesdays and it was every Wednesday and me and my mom would go. And I actually really, like at the time I was doing basketball and swimming and the musicals at school and track. Like I was just, it was like, this was another thing I was doing. I wasn't really serious about it. And I think at first it just wasn't working. Like I wanted to, my dream role was Elphaba in Wicked. Like, wow. I wasn't going to be singing classical anything, but she was having me sing, like, these art songs, like, this, you know, Caro Mio Ben and all this, you know, stuff like that. I was like,
the
this is
gateway drug.
This is, yes, exactly. That's how I got hooked, baby. No, but I was like, this is not for me. And then what's the other one? There's
just
so many.
Everyone knows that was Andrea, not Meredith. Just like, so no one thinks that that's what Meredith sounds like.
You can't even tell. Honestly, I couldn't tell the difference. Did you sing that though? You sang that,
oh,
right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I feel like everyone had to sing that. It's like, you're a freshman, you're going to districts. It's like, oh, I know the song you should sing. And I've like heard that sung by all voice parts, by everyone I know who's ever competed in high school with a classical piece, right? I mean, like, it's so...
Yeah.
I don't even know what I could compare it to for, like, another genre. Very weird.
The most well-known, it's got to be the most pops, one of the most popular Italian songs. It's a good one. But, yeah, so I was taking voice lessons, didn't love it. And then eventually, like, middle of high school, I went to Lutheran Summer Music, where I met your dad, actually. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, did that
and everything changed.
And from then on, I was never the same. But kind of. I mean, I don't know. But not to be dramatic about it.
No, of course not. Just the facts here.
Never.
So you go to Lutheran Summer Music up north, correct? Yes. Isn't that Michigan or something?
Yes, in Iowa. Iowa.
What? It's in Iowa?
Yeah. It's
Why
in Decorah.
Why did I think it was in
Well, Michigan. Now I think it's at Valparaiso.
Okay.
I don't even know where that's
Indiana.
In Indiana. But
yeah. Weird.
Yeah. It's like the festival, a 4-week festival of like performances and lessons and you like live in a dorm and stuff. It hops from different
and it's
schools.
Pretty intense and it's like it's pretty well regarded, right? Like this is it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. It was fun and it was my first time being around other people my age that were really serious about, you know, all the instruments and singing and everything. And mm-hmm. I'd never been in a choir, really. Wow. And so it was my first time being in a choir. And also just, like, to be with other believers was really cool. Like, I just mm-hmm. hadn't, I don't know. It was a really cool experience. And I went back, I think, 2 more years until I graduated.
Wow. Is that partially why you went to Concordia?
Absolutely. That is, yeah. That's well, because I went. Okay. And I really loved. Have you ever been to Luther College? To Decorah?
No.
It's so beautiful.
If I had it's to really guess, pretty. I'd say I would have never gotten into Lutheran summer music.
Oh, I doubt that. Oh my
There's
gosh.
Like
Don't
literally no way. Anyways, I've stayed away since true, that but... hunch. No, I'm just joking.
But I feel like I feel like you would actually love it. It's like the school is, if I'm not mistaken, it's like kind of in a valley of like all these hills. Mm. It's like very separated. They have like their own farm on the campus where a lot of the stuff in the cafeteria, like wow. you eat the stuff that you grow.
And this is
I was
Iowa?
Like obsessed with it. This is in Decorah, Iowa.
And is this like sort of remember, by Dubuque? Like, is it sort of on the edge of the state?
I have no idea.
Okay, we'll
no
link this
idea.
Up. We'll link this in the show notes if anyone's
yeah, we'll
looking
link
for,
in bio.
If anyone's looking for a farm to table Lutheran summer music program experience, we've
you
got
know
you
where
covered.
To go.
We've got you
we,
covered.
Yeah. Don't even worry.
So this
but
is what makes
cool.
you go to Concordia. And so when you yes. decide to go to Concordia, are you at all at this point thinking, I'm going to be an opera singer?
Absolutely not. Still okay. no. Okay. Because I was going in to do music ed because, you know, and I won't name names here, but I...
We'll just bleep them
I
out.
I could, but I won't. Yeah, we'll just cut those out. We'll edit them. But there were... some people in my high school and just, I don't know, I had feedback when I was starting to really get into singing and starting to really care about it and like put energy into it. I like quit doing all the sports. I focused like this is junior year of high school, totally focusing on singing. And I got quite a lot of feedback that like, you're really good, but like you should probably, you could be a really great teacher, which there's so many things wrong with that because that's saying such a terrible thing about being a teacher. It's like yeah. that stupid saying, you know, those who can't do teach, which is just so wrong. I really don't mm-hmm. believe in that.
Absolutely.
So that's wrong. But also they were basically telling me like, yeah, you wouldn't make it. Like the performing world is so hard. Like if you want to sing, like, oh my gosh, it is just so tough. Like you don't want to put yourself through that. And then all those people that I really trusted saying that, like, you know, I think that got to me. And I also totally. Have great teach, like other great teachers who I was like, oh, I would love to be, you know, who they have been for me. So that's when I kind of wanted to do music ed. And then, honestly, Andrea, not to be dramatic again, but you were, I remember talking to you one day because I did Nats, the state mm-hmm. Nats in Nebraska. And I won, this is like sophomore year. And we had like kind of just met because we didn't mm-hmm. cross paths my first year in Nebraska. But we were like hanging out a little bit. And I remember winning the first place in classical and musical theater Nats. And I was like, so surprised. Like, I can't believe I won. Like I've never won anything. And I started like thinking about it. Like I really love doing this. I really want to do this. Maybe I should just do it. And Luke, we were dating at the time already. And he was like, you should do it. And I remember calling you because you switched or you did music performance mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. for your bachelor's. And Luke was like, you should call Andrea and like, think about switching your like degree. Cause I was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And then that's over the weekend, I made the decision like, yeah, I'm just going to switch degrees and not do any more teaching. Or, like,
I think
not
I remember talking about this
that.
Because
do you,
we had both done 2 years of music ed. And then after 2 years of music ed, I had gotten out because I realized it was way too much work. Like I had only ever decided to do music ed as a backup plan if my performing career failed. Well, then I realized like this is a lot of work and like a lot of commitment for a backup plan. Like I don't want to work this hard for a backup plan.
No.
So yeah,
a lot.
I went to Belmont for performance and then I came back to Concordia and just got a generic BA. And so
right.
And it
That's
was
what I got
so much easier getting the ed out of there and so worth it. I remember talking about that with you.
Yeah.
I would say that was like definitely the right choice.
I think so too. Well, and like, and that, I mean, I could have still majored in music ed and mm-hmm. done what I'm doing now. But I think it was, for me, I think I had to make the decision, like, I'm not, I can't be doing my teaching stuff in the classroom and, like, doing that whole, what is it, the student teaching?
Yeah, the student semester. Teacher. And yeah, I mean, it's it's not right for the school either to have one foot out the door. You know, like, that is such an all-encompassing job that to sort of in the back of your mind be like, this is what I do when I'm, you know, when I'm not doing what I really want to do. Like, an ed program for music, like, every weekend is festivals, and you know, it's not so just much. 8 to 3:30. It's literally so much work. So
yeah,
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So then talk about ending Concordia and sort of how you got into the Juilliard School. Like, how did that all happen?
Yeah, well, I junior year. So, you know, I had decided to switch my major, and then I did my first summer program, like opera young artist program, that next summer. So between sophomore and junior year. And so I did my first opera, and I absolutely loved it so much. It was in Atlanta. And I was like one of the main, it was by Monteverdi, and it's the main two roles are Poppea and Nerone. And I was Nerone, which was also my, not only my first opera role, my first pants role. So I was playing a man. That's which so I was like, I had no idea about the culture of this at all. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know how to do any of this. Oh, great. But so it was like so amazing. So then throughout the next couple of years, I was just like getting really serious about voice lessons and applying for lots of other summer things for the years coming up. And then I was like, well, I think maybe I should go to grad school because I'm just now deciding to do this. And I feel pretty behind. Like by now, a lot of people have been doing this since like beginning of high school, being really serious about this instrument. And I just feel like I just had not been in that world. So I was like, well, I think so I was going to apply for grad school, and I applied for 6 from all like a huge range of quality. So Florida State, University of Tennessee, or Knoxville, whatever Tennessee University is in Knoxville, mm-hmm. not the Nashville one, Northwestern in Chicago, Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore, and then MSM, Manhattan School of Music, mm-hmm. and Juilliard. And I pretty much, it was like a last minute decision to apply to Juilliard because it was kind of like, I would love to be in New York, mm-hmm. and you know, where everything is happening. And it's like, oh man, I'll just apply to Juilliard. I don't know. Like it was totally, I would never get in. And then I apply, like I send in just the pre-screening videos and I get an audition. And I was like, this can't be right. Something's wrong. Like it was just crazy. And then I decided to do a trip to New York and like separate from my audition, mm-hmm. to meet with teachers here and like see who I want to study with. Cause that's a huge part of where you want to go to school is like what teacher you want to work with. So I came here and I worked with the woman I still work with every day or every week, not every day, Marlena Malis, who is incredible. And I met with her and she like loved me. And she was like, you have to come here. And I was like, I would love to if I can get in. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. You tell me. I don't know if I can do this. And so like, we hit it off and
yeah,
it's great. Then I came and auditioned and then got in. I like, am still literally surprised to this day that I could ever get into that school. But
that's amazing.
It's crazy.
It's so incredible, but you definitely earned it. I mean, this is not like a fluke or or any of those things. So stop being so humble. But so you get into Juilliard. And you make a harrowing trip from Seward, Nebraska to New York, New York. Yeah. A harrowing cross-country journey in a U-Haul. We don't have to go into detail on this part of it.
And we won't.
We'll link that in the show notes. We'll link Meredith's essay in the show notes. Anyway, what is it like? Like, what are the first couple months like at Juilliard?
Oh my gosh. It was so hard.
I can't even imagine.
I think just in every way, like a graduate program, it's just a different beast than college. Living in New York, like I think we moved, and by we, I mean Luke, my husband Luke and I, because he went to grad school at the same time, School of Visual Arts. So we're both going to school starting, I think, the same week. And we moved like maybe 3 weeks prior. So we had some time to settle in. Everything's great. We're getting used to our neighborhood and like getting everything, you know, in our apartment how we want it. But yeah, it was really scary to be in the city, like the first time living here. Like I had actually traveled to New York like 5 or 6 times my parents love New York and my whole family does. So, like, we'd go to Broadway shows, you know, go out to eat, all the stuff, like luxurious, like vacation. Yes. It's not quite like that when you live here. It's not the same. So, like, yeah, it was pretty tough the first couple weeks. And starting these classes, like, pretty much every class you're in is a performance class. So, like, yes, you, like, do stuff where you're sitting at a desk, but most of the times you're getting up and singing something or reciting poetry or whatever, pretty much every class. So, like, hearing all of these people that came from conservatory programs already, or a lot of people were getting their second master's or their graduate diploma or something. I'm in these classes with people that are just so amazing. And it's inspiring to be around so many incredible singers and other, I was in classes with other instrumentalists and stuff too, but it's also really overwhelming because I had just not been around that like high quality before. I mean, it's truly the highest quality. So it's a lot to take in, and everyone's so kind, and I think almost feels the same way a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some people that have done like the Juilliard pre-college, then Juilliard undergrad, now master's. They've been there for like 10 years. So some people, it doesn't faze them like it would someone like me. But I don't know. Everyone knows it's intense and like can be a little competitive. So everyone somehow also like comes together in a way. It's a very strange place. But yeah, the first few weeks were really hard to adjust to. Mm-hmm. Also just to the city, just because it's like, just like figuring out, okay, it takes an hour to get to school, but I need to leave 45 minutes more because the trains could just stop. And then I have to walk 20 blocks and then get on the next train. I mean, that's a little dramatic. It's not quite that bad, but like, you know, it's not just like getting in your car and driving, like it's pretty far. So it was a lot. That's
crazy. And so when Juilliard wrapped up after you were done with 2 years of the degree, were you like somewhat relieved that it was over?
Absolutely. Very relieved. But also it was like the pandemic started. I graduated May of 2020. So like the pandemic was hitting right when I was graduating, and I was like, this is my first time not being a student. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I finally kind of know what I want to do. And I found something that I love and that's fulfilling and challenging and that I really want to start pursuing. But then it all kind of like crumbles away. I mean, I know everyone gets it. Like, I'm not going to like go on and on about.
But it was a uniquely awful time to be graduating in field, you know, with a degree in opera, yes, when literally that is entirely shutting down for we don't know how long. So yeah, kind of talk about that a little bit, getting out of the pandemic and kind of like starting to get back into auditioning. What does that look like?
Yeah. That's been really tough because especially the last year of Juilliard, like the first semester of the last, like fall of 2019, I guess, there was a lot of auditions. That's kind of prime audition season, like November, December. So I was auditioning for like lots of international opera companies, agents, American opera companies, and like summer programs or, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so I was like, that was part of my weekly routine, auditioning and being in front of people and doing my whole, like, you know, you have to bring your resumes and your repertoire lists and your music, and you have to work with a pianist, and, you know, you have to look a certain way. So like, I had kind of gotten very used to that, and it was just part of my routine. And then now auditions were kind of stopped last year. There were some people that auditioned over Zoom or like over, you know, whatever, different platforms. So I would do that from like the apartment, which was so tricky. It's so hard to audition for a very important like German opera company in my bedroom. Like it just sucks.
Like, I've been spending last year here, and this is like the worst place in the world right now for me, and I'm gonna audition for this thing. Yeah, that's so
literally hard. It's just so. And there's something, I mean, there's a nice thing about it where you're like, oh, I don't have to go anywhere. I can just stay at home. Like, oh, that's kind of nice. But you really can't get into the, I know this is so cheesy, but like get into the zone.
Oh,
like,
totally. I think that makes
sense. I feel like I really, sense. Yeah. Yeah. I really do get into a state when I'm, especially auditioning. Auditioning is like different than performing. I mean, it's, you're performing when you audition, but it's a different thing when you're putting yourself in the position of being judged and like, are they good enough? You know, you have to just like have a certain thing about it. And it's just so hard to do, like, in your home. You don't get That's to so hard. Have that separated. Yeah, it became really difficult. And I wanted to do as many auditions as I could during the pandemic because, my thinking, a lot of it was, I don't want to be a victim of this thing that's just happening to all of us. I want to make something of it, which mm-hmm. I really tried my best. But I think at some point that changed a little bit where it's like, okay, this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to force some things that just aren't working.
Totally.
And it's out of my control. And I just have to let it be. Like, I can't know all the answers, like, why this is happening. Like, it feels like Absolutely. This is happening to me. I'm so upset with my life. But, you know.
Yeah, I was, like, getting in a headspace of, especially recently, being very, you know, just saying things like, if that hadn't have happened, then XYZ would have happened. It's just so right. annoying that this happened and ruined my life. And it's, like, it's weird because there is no, like, alternative universe. Like, what happened happened. Like, there what right. was supposed to happen, you know? This, like, weird exactly. sort of idea that we have this control over what's happening is absolutely hilarious. And yet I still exactly. find myself saying, like, well, if that just hadn't messed up everything, like, even I saw this video that was like, okay, fine, a global pandemic is fine, but why did it have to happen in my 20s?
Right.
I'm like really related that's to that so, of like, yeah, that's yes. so unfair. But anyways.
I hate it.
It's yeah, like a good reminder yes. that we literally have no control ever and we just have to make the best of what happens. And it sounds like you really did. So you were over in Germany this winter. Is that right? This December, you were able to yes. go over in person, right? How was that?
Yeah, it was. Oh my gosh. It was wild. I stayed with a friend of a friend in Nuremberg. So that's like near mm-hmm. Munich, South Germany. And I was there for a total of 5 days. So I was in Nuremberg. And then I went to Munich to not formally audition for the opera house there, but to like kind of connect with some of the higher ups, I guess, and sing for them, like, but not in a formal setting. Mm-hmm. So I did that one day. And then the next day I met up with some friends who live there. So that was really fun. And then the day before I actually flew back to America, this is like December 23rd, like Christmas Eve, we're talking, okay? My favorite time of year, just want to yes. say that. So it was a big time. It was a lot of emotions.
Emotions were running high. Yeah.
Yes, they really were. And so, and like, I had been, again, like auditioning the last year, 2 years really, virtually, you know, I'm so ready to be in Germany to like do this. And they went really well, but I did Nuremberg in one day at 9 a.m. on that morning. And then I had to travel 6 hours on the train to Hamburg, which is North Germany near Berlin. Because the only days they were both available to have time slot for me was in the same day. I was like, I don't know wow. if this is physically possible to yeah. travel this far, but I worked it out. And it was a crazy day because I like auditioned in Nuremberg at 9 and then I ran to the train station. I had to get a COVID test, but like it was a little complicated with the language barrier. Oh, and I was like doing gosh. My best. And then I get to the train station. I'm going to catch the last train to Hamburg to make it 30 minutes before my audition. The train is canceled, Andrea.
Oh no.
And I looked like a madwoman running around, flailing with my coat and my bag. And I'm just like running through the train station, almost in tears, probably saying something in English, like she looks crazy. And there's a train coming again the next hour. So I'm like, okay, so I guess I'll take that. So I get on the train and I'm on the train. And then I accidentally get off the wrong stop in Hamburg. I get off a stop too early. So I'm like outside the city. I'm fully not in the city yet. And I'm like, I'm going to miss it. I came all the way to Germany and I'm not going to make it. But then, yeah, I get in a taxi and and then I get there in time and I sing and it's fine. It was just like,
wow, that's a harrowing journey though.
It was so stressful. And you know what's funny? So it was a great trip and I learned so much. I had never traveled alone like that. Mm-hmm. And I've been working on my German slowly the past like 4 years. It's been like on and off. So I haven't grown a whole lot. So it was like really good to be in a foreign country and be able to communicate as much as I could. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's been a hard week because this last week I found out from all of them that I didn't get in.
Oh no.
Which really sucks. And it's so hard because, you know, it's okay, but like it's mm-hmm. constantly so much of what we do is this perseverance and this trust. Kind of what you're saying with the pandemic, like mm-hmm. a trust in, okay, for some reason that was just not right now. And I don't know why, but something else is better, hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, something mm-hmm. else better is coming. And it was tough because like the week after the excitement of doing the Carnegie Hall debut and like working with Renee Fleming herself. And she's just incredible. And it's, And then the next week I'm like, oh, but I didn't get into anything I wanted. Like,
yeah. I mean, you really constantly have to ride the waves. Like the rejection in any like arts industry is so hard. And yeah, it's like you have one amazing thing happen and you feel so validated. Mm. And like, it's all going the right way. And then the next day, you know, it's like, no, they don't want you on that tour. You know, like, you know, there's so many different ways in which you can be rejected. Like, yeah, no, they didn't like your song for that film, even though you wrote that song for their film after they asked you to write that song and they said they loved it. Actually, they didn't love it. And it's just like, how do you let that not impact your mental health or your self-worth, you know? And that's something that I think is truly a constant dance when you are in the arts. I mean, I haven't figured it out. Like, I don't know anyone who truly has.
I know. And it's hard when like I felt like the past couple years through the pandemic, it's been so tough as everyone's gone through their own like crazy journey. But I feel like I've grown so much, you know, I've taken so much time to work on myself doing therapy. Mm-hmm. I've done this thing. One of the big things I did this, there's a book called The Artist's Way. I forgot who wrote it. Julia Cameron or someone. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but I've done, it's like a 12-week thing where like, it's a lot of journaling. It's a lot of taking yourself on these like artist dates and just like taking care of yourself as a person that creates stuff. And I don't know, doing all these things through the pandemic and now still having so much rejection and, you know, it comes to a point where you have to accept all the stuff that's happening to you, but still trust that, no, I know I'm still good though. Like, I know I have something important and I know, like, I'm not quitting, you know, like, it's really hard to do, to not let it get to you and like your self-worth, like you were saying, like, how do you not let literally 90% of people telling you like, oh, you're really good, but not good enough. So you're not chosen for this or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and hearing that, like, pretty much I get a rejection email probably like every 3 or 4 days when I wake up is usually when I get it, especially if it's, so perfect way to start the day.
Meredith, today we pick you.
Finally. Oh my gosh.
No, it's hard though. And also it might be good to like, you know, cue the listener in that there are so many fantastic opera singers and not enough jobs. And there never were enough jobs, but now more than ever, there are not enough jobs. And so it has nothing to do with your talent. It's like any industry that is oversaturated. It comes down to weird things like, oh, I didn't like the way your shoes looked, you know, or like, let's find one that has hair 4 inches longer. Like, it's just, you know, you're to the point where it's so elite and it's so competitive that it's not coming down to, is she a good opera singer? It's coming down to just literally subjective things that people want.
Yeah.
And that's a big distinction. And it's not like, this is not really a normal industry in a lot of ways.
Right. It's not. And something really interesting I've just been learning about myself the past couple months is that, so like, I'm 26. My voice is still going to change a lot until I'm probably like 40. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of time for my voice to go in a lot of different directions. And in opera, there are these things called Fachs, like Bach, but with an F. And it's basically like a box. So like, there's a lyric soprano who sings these roles. There's a color tour soprano who sings these, whatever. There's like so many different types of sopranos. And right now I'm kind of at the point people are asking me, okay, what are you and what do you sing?
Yeah.
And I'm at this point where I'm like, well, I don't know. I actually can sing a couple things from this box and this box. And like, I don't think I'm ready to choose one because I don't know. Like, I have no idea what my voice is going to do. And so that's been really interesting too at this age, like late 20s. I know a lot of other sopranos, I mean, other singers too, not just sopranos, but I think especially sopranos because there's so many of us, which I love. I love that there's so many. But like, it's really hard to also just be chosen for things because when you're trying to be open to whatever you could become, like whatever kind of soprano I could become, I want to be open to that and not close myself off. Mm-hmm. But because I'm not closing myself off to one thing, I'm not getting chosen for certain things. And it's like, how do you win? You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's just so hard. And I don't know. And it's inspiring to look at so many opera singers, I think, that, and musicians in general, artists in general, that really did go through similar things. I mean, it's so cheesy, but like you don't really learn anything by winning all the time or by getting every job. Mm-hmm. Like you learn something and you grow when you, I don't want to say fail, because that's so drastic. Like the stuff that's happened in the last year that's kind of happened to me, to us, mm-hmm. like it's not like I'm failing, you know, it's not that, but you know, the rejection and all of that, I think you have to look at the people that have truly persevered through it. And that's what helps me a lot, because I don't know, it's hard to do it by yourself and feel like, what do I do?
I think that's great advice. And yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the rejection comes along anytime you do something that's performative and you want to do more of it. And yet like,
yeah,
that's never why you started. You know, you didn't start so that you could just go to auditions and be a full-time auditioner to get rejected. Like, we started making music because it was like the medium in which we wanted to express ourselves and tell stories. And it's like, I have to go back to that all the time when the business side of it is starting to stress me out or make me vengeful or bitter. It's like, I've never started to write songs because I wanted to win things or because I wanted to make money.
Yeah.
I just wrote songs because I loved writing songs. And I think that the grown-up side of these things sometimes make the purity and the beauty of why we did this feel so sour. And it's like good to remember that it really is just part of it, but it's not why we do it.
Yeah. But that's like the hardest part to remember, though. Like, and there's so all that, like it's still there, but it's so hard to uncover when there's so many things happening.
It's and so like, true. And also, like, you did get into opera singing later than a lot of people did, which is also probably part of that. So what does 2022 look like for you?
2022 looks like, so the next few weeks I am preparing for a bunch of competitions, actually, which is even worse than just like regular auditioning. So I'm so happy about it. No, I actually am excited. But it's like competitions are just, they're just intense. And you're literally competing. Like, I hate that word. I hate competing with other people. Like, I just want to like be together and like make music together and not feel like everyone's, you know, there to, I was going to say slit someone's throat. That's really dramatic. Wow. They're not there to do that, but cutthroat. That's what I was thinking.
Yes. Murder.
Not slit someone's throat. Yes. But yeah, so I have a bunch of competitions coming up. The biggest one is the Metropolitan Opera Competition Regionals. So I'm doing that. That's like a big one. There's George London. There's Belvedere International Competition. There's some other ones. And then I'm doing this residency upstate with some amazing people. And then I'm doing this workshop at Juilliard. Oh my goodness. There's this incredible singer/conductor. Her name is Barbara Hannigan. Anyone out there listening, you should look her up right now.
We actually will link her below.
You really should.
We will. This is not a drill.
She's amazing.
Okay.
This is not a drill or a joke. We are serious. She is an incredible soprano, and there's some incredible videos of her conducting a full orchestra and singing. It's amazing.
That's
like
so cool.
She's incredible, and she's premiered so many new operas.
So you are going to be working with her upstate.
With her, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's so
and
exciting.
I just look up to her so much. She's paved a way for like the modern woman opera singer. Like there's no right way to do anything. She's totally paved her own path. It's just incredible. Look her up. Okay. So I'm doing that. So I'm really excited about it. And then doing some other like song competitions with this pianist I do a lot of work with, Jin Hee. We pair a lot, or we do a lot of stuff together. And then the summer is Tanglewood Music Festival. And I don't really know exactly what I'm doing there yet. They haven't released all the like events, but that'll be August through June. And then I'm planning, I mean, depending on like the next 3 months is a lot of competitions and more international auditions. So that's going to tell me a lot. Okay. What am I doing in the fall? Like ideally, if I got into one of these European things, like Luke and I would move to Germany for September for the new opera season, but it may not be in the cards and I just have to, you know,
totally
keep rolling with it. So if that doesn't happen, I am planning a Europe trip, like a 2-month trip in the fall where I'll just like rent an apartment. I don't know if I can afford
that's
it
amazing.
And something and just like stay
Let
there
me
and
stay
audition
with you
and,
for a while.
Please, oh my gosh, you can stay. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
I'm looking at like Berlin maybe or
just tell me when and where.
Maybe Frankfurt.
I'll just come for I'll come for a little while. Well, Meredith, this has been lovely. I've loved chatting with you. I'm so excited for the rest of this year for you.
Thanks, okay. Andrea.
Thank you, Meredith. I hope you all enjoyed that episode with Meredith Wohlgemuth. If you'd like to learn more about Mer, go to her website at www.merwohlgemuth.com. That is www.merwohlgemuth.com. From there, you can check out her Instagram, her Facebook. Go ahead and give her a follow. And as always, if you're liking this podcast, follow the podcast. Maybe leave a review. You know what to do. Anyways, I hope you all have a great week and see you next time.